It's been that time. What is going on, Nashville? All of Middle Tennessee and wherever it is that you stream us here on 104.5 The Zone. Welcome in on this Wednesday. We appreciate you spending this final hour leading up to Blaine and Mickey here with us. Lucas is here. I am here. We are ready to keep the thing going because Will Compton will soon be here, and then we'll be able to make fun of him because they had Arthur Smith, former Titans offensive coordinator, now head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. They had him on the podcast today, and he gave some insight into how it is that he ended up leaving Tennessee, how he ended up getting Dean Pease. And I have many, many criticisms for Will, for Taylor Lewan, about their style as interviewers. It is currently on a poll right now at Buck Rising is where you can vote on the polls. These two individuals, and we'll yell at Will about this in a second, because I wonder if Will knows how long they were talking, he and Taylor, before they finally let Arthur Smith speak a complete sentence. I had it timed at 18 minutes before they finally let their guest speak. Now, I am coming from a place of understanding, because as many of you pointed out to me yesterday on the radio show, I talked for about 5 minutes before I let Dennis Kelly speak. This is something that, yeah, I'm prone to. I talk to myself a lot. Sometimes I get caught up in my own air. It's a bad habit. Apparently, Lucas gets caught up in his own air, too, because Gary Todd tweets in, did Lucas just say Tucson for Tucson? Did you? I don't know. This is about public accountability. It's okay. I called.
Well, why don't you tweet at me, Gary? I'm right here.
Coward. Come see me. See me outside. How about that? I can't even do that anymore since she started an OnlyFans account. That's just, it's so gross what's happened to Bad Baby. She turns 18 years old, immediately starts an OnlyFans account, gets $1 million in the first like 6 hours because there's a bunch of perverts on the internet just sitting there waiting to subscribe to Bad Baby's OnlyFans account. This is the society that we live in. But yeah, Gary, come see this man. In the meantime, we have been talking a lot because That latest open, the third hour open, says that I'm the best Titans reporter in Nashville. I think that might be Brent Doherty. I don't know if I can claim that title anymore.
It was yesterday.
We may need to Yeah, Lucas texted me, look at Brent's tweet, and I texted him back. I'm like, damn it, I shouldn't have taken that nap. It's a terrible job out of me. But yes, Jim Schwartz, not Jeff, Jim Schwartz is being hired as a senior Titans defensive assistant. Now, we spent almost the full 2 hours talking about that. And what Lucas said in his update is about the Nashville Predators. Not only is it a day to celebrate, 10 out of 12?
Correct.
For the Preds at this point. Undefeated in shootouts, the Preds, at this point.
4-0 this season.
Look at that. And it is also a day for Champions League. So before we switch into more football conversation, because Will Compton has just texted me again asking for the Zoom link. I gotta send it to him every freaking Wednesday. He's gonna upset me before he even comes on, and I can't let that happen. So instead, we will go to Lucas Panzeca for his Preds and Champions League update.
That's it. You just want me to just start talking about hockey and soccer?
Haven't you been telling me that you wanted to do this throughout the entire show?
Well, what would you like first?
Whatever you want to start with, bud. I thought 3 hours was enough to get you prepped for this. I didn't think that this was going to...
Did you watch the Preds game yesterday?
I did not. I was doing the A to Z Sports primetime show.
Another shootout win. That's 4-0 in shootouts this season. They've been confident. They've been clutch. And I'm willing to turn my stance into saying the Preds have turned it around after winning 10 of the last 12.
I'm so angry. When is the trade deadline?
April 12th.
All right, so next week. So are they buying or are they selling?
Oh, that you have to ask David Poyle. That I do not know.
Oh, coward!
But he's in a tough spot.
Coward!
He's in a tough spot.
No, you can't call. You cannot call out. Well, Gary.
It's not take a wrecking ball to the entire foundation like it was 3 weeks ago. But yes, I do think at its foundation right now they are buyers at the moment.
Say, how hard was that? Give me an opinion.
Okay.
It's like pulling teeth with you.
I was validated by Alex Doherty, who came on to talk Preds with us, I believe, last week, saying he agreed with me that on my statement that the Preds had begun the path to turning it around. But by now, it is fair to say they are doing this without Matt Duchene, without Ryan Ellis, without Philip Forsberg, who was recently re-injured. they have turned it around. 10 of the last 12, and the Red Wings have been very hot at home as of late. And late game situations, you have, it's gotten to the point where you have the utmost confidence that the Preds are going to find a way to pull it out.
So we haven't determined what my punishment is going to be if the Preds finish in the playoffs.
No.
We have not yet. Have we heard from any members of the Nashville Predators organization as to what my shame should be?
No, it should be for, we should find a way to make it for a good cause.
Have we talked about this in a text message previously like we did Willie McGinnis and you've just ignored what I've asked?
That's possible. That's on the table.
It's potential. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. So, the conversation has largely been, are you just going to leave Champions League out of it? Are we ignoring that?
Champions League soccer coming up today. Chelsea plays Porto, PSG, and Bayern Munich. I'm excited. The quarterfinal round, first leg. Just for the casual fans, Christian Pulisic, starting lineups haven't come out. I hope he's in it for Chelsea. We will see.
That lacked a lot of the drama that I've spent 2.5 hours building that up for you, and that just kind of fell flat.
I mean, I don't want to sit here and dive into the intricacies of how Chelsea is going to approach facing a Porto team that built into an incredibly low buck against Juventus, still almost blew the second leg, but still pulled off the upset in the round of 16, and how Chelsea will be expected to win, but we'll see what happens.
Well, see, at least now people know what they think that you know what the hell you're talking about, instead of just this tepid...
Look, Bayern Munich and PSG are arguably the two best teams in the Champions League field right now. You could argue Manchester City's in that conversation, but that, and just in terms of fun to watch, Bayern is a machine. They always have been. PSG is the most electric team in Europe at the moment, and I will have my eyes on that, though I might have to two-screen it if Christian Pulisic is in the team sheet for today.
Pulisic and Preds. For all of your Pulisic and Preds needs, you find Lucas Panzeca at Lucas Panzeca on the socials. What we're going to talk to Will Compton, though, from Bussin' with the Boys and the Titans and at one point the Raiders, God knows where he'll end up if he ends up back on an NFL roster. We will find out where he is in his NFL job hunt, as we do each and every week, coming up next. But what we're going to talk about is really what's been a lot of your guys' questions about Jim Schwartz. Like, how complicated is it when you have a defensive staff structure where there are multiple assistants, there is one coordinator, there is a defensive head coach who is defensive-minded, and you as a player are looking to take instruction, play call from one singular voice to make sure that the communication remains clear, that you remain consistent in your execution. That's something that the Titans defense struggled with last year. And we'll also talk to him about Arthur Smith, because I mean you people. You people have this obsession with Dean Pease. Understandably so, because your defense sucked and Dean left and now he has a job with Art, right? Arthur Smith, now the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. And it's made even worse because if you listen to Bussin' with the Boys this morning, as I did, sitting waiting behind a train that was running through the Gulch for whatever reason, it took me 22 minutes to get 1.9 miles from my house to work. Not that I'm bitter. But what Art said today on Bussin' with the Boys is that Dean called him, said retirement wasn't for him. Now, maybe this is people like me breathing too much life into the Dean Pease storyline. Maybe with Jim Schwartz now on the roster, or on the staff rather, and Shane Bowen in place as your defensive coordinator, you're at peace. You let go and let football God at this point. But a lot of you are still upset about how things ended with Dean Pease, and you largely, at least in my experience, maybe this is just the loud minority, the vocal minority, in my Twitter mentions, you hold Mike Vrabel responsible. But this doesn't sound like a Mike Vrabel issue. This sounds like Dean told Mike he wanted to retire again. Dean retired again. And then after Art got the head coach job, he hit up Art and said, hey, retirement ain't for me. Turns out, second time around, not more fun than the first, when Mike Vrabel lured him out of retirement the first time.
So that's two coaches Vrabel has lured out of retirement. Because, I mean, Jim Schwartz didn't officially retire, but he did step away from coaching in January.
I mean, he said that he didn't, like, there was a change of coaching staff anyway. I don't remember how late into, like, the coaching search process Doug Peterson got fired, or there was, like, a mutual parting of ways, is the way that the Eagles phrased it. So I don't know, I don't know if the writing was on the wall. It sounded like things got a little hellish there in Philadelphia for a while. It's probably, and it's not exactly an easy media market to to work in, even though Jim Schwartz has been largely good at his job while they've been there. Yeah, I don't necessarily know that I would qualify it as retirement. Vilev just said, Buck bikes to work should be a thing once a week. You know how expensive bikes are? I thought about this. Now, when it gets hot, I don't want to show up at the radio station looking like I just got out the shower because I'm sweaty. Because 1.9, not that far, obviously, but there's some hills. Nashville, not a terribly hilly city, but there is like one hill between me and the radio station. But like bikes, not a cheap proposition. I was thinking about this because I thought it might be a nice gift for my girlfriend. Maybe, you know, the weather gets nice, we go biking around town. Bike like $900. It's outrageous. Here I might as well just buy a Peloton and never leave my home again. Again, no free ads. But where I'm sure we will see all of the free shout outs is coming up next, because Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys will join us as he does weekly. It is time next to go Bussin' with Buck. Don't cuss, Will. We're on the radio now. It goes very quickly from the commercial breaks. Now back here on 104.5 The Zone. Don't giggle at me. Keep it together. Sorry. This is Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys is here. You can follow the boys at Bussin' WTB at underscore Will Compton is where you find this currently unemployed linebacker with a podcast. Now, in my weekly communication with you to confirm you will indeed show up at the time that I need you to show up, I was a little extra aggressive this week than I normally am. I sent you two texts with three cuss words in them, and I feel like I caught you off guard. Like I was having, I guess, describe for the people what it is like to communicate with me on a regular basis and how much additional strain I add into your life with the kind of things that I say to people over text.
I tell you what, it seems like you have a stressful life. Because sometimes, you know, we're up and down in our communication. We have fun. We banter back and forth. Sometimes you like to bring social media into our conversations. Like we don't have different, you know, like we don't have a different vibe outside of social media and everything else in front of people. But yeah, the other day you were very hostile for whatever reason. Three cuss words within two text messages. And I was just like, hey, what's up, man? And you were just going off about for whatever reason. Sorry, I have a helicopter flying above me. I hope you can't hear it.
I can't hear it until you pointed it out, but it's a good job out of you.
It come from? Where's the aggression come from? What's been going on with you? How are you doing? Let's check in mentally.
Let's do a mental wellness check on me right now, live on the radio. Sure, we could do that. Yes, I'm often very stressed. I think I would be terrible at my job if I wasn't constantly stressed. I think that the only reason that I'm any kind of entertaining is because people use this radio show to stress me out and then bring out the emotions that I have bottled up inside me, which is just constant anxiety, constant stress, constant insecurity because Will Compton is sending me things about my weight, like all of this stuff. Plus, I've got three shows, writing responsibilities three times a week, and I have to keep tabs on everything going on in the world of the Tennessee Titans. I lead a stressful life, William.
There's no question. I do. You are in a very stressful world. Having to stay up to date 24/7 with all those obligations with the radio and writing, like, I can only imagine what kind of life that creates for you.
Well, one day when the Bussin' with the Boys media empire is complete and you are overseeing things, I'm sure that your life will be equally as stressful. We'll start before we get into the podcast because, of course, Taylor and Will on this week's episode today, it aired. It is available in your favorite podcast app. It will be available this evening on YouTube. Go subscribe to Bussin' with the Boys on YouTube to watch the full episode. You guys had Arthur Smith, formerly of the Titans, now of the Atlanta Falcons. I'm very upset. Why that text message got so aggressive is because we also have Arthur scheduled to appear on this radio show, but not until draft week, and you guys scoop me. So that's where my frustrations came from, if I'm to start anywhere. But where are you in your job hunt? Are you currently any closer to employment than any of the last weeks that we've checked in on your status as an NFL free agent?
That's a good question. If you listen to the episode, I put a little ball in Coach Smith's court. Like, hey, do we want to get this done now? Do we want to make it official? Am I going to be an Atlanta Falcon?
Are you trying to win a Super Bowl, Arthur? Well, then you should sign me.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, hey, are you trying to win a Super Bowl or not, bro? Which he talks about. He talks about glue guys, man. But no, I think the landscape of where free agency is at right now, I think a lot of teams have spent certain monies that they can on the guys that they want veteran-wise to kind of fill out the roster and kind of being on a budget, per se. The teams are needing the market to kind of reset. We talked about it before. But to where guys who usually normally play on maybe $5 million a year are starting to accept $2 million a year deals. And I think what's going to happen, depending on the whole virtual offseason thing, is teams are now going to wait and see what their draft board looks like, how they fill out their draft board. And then from there, you start looking at those next waves of free agency. Because I do. I think free agency is just a lot different this year. But to like just to bluntly answer your question on has anything changed, not really, not outside of like conversations of interest.
It's becoming a trend on this radio show. We've just been having unemployed former Titans players on the radio show. Dennis was on Dennis on yesterday? Yes, Dennis Kelly was on yesterday. Now, fortunately, we will break that streak because Brett Kern is going to be our golf analyst tomorrow, given that he is ready for Masters week to begin. So we will not talk to Brett about anything Titans related. It will strictly be golf. But Will Compton, currently unemployed except for Bussing with the Boys, here with us on 104.5 The Zone. So, Arthur, you guys got into, by the way, first and foremost, because I've been saving this up since I listened to the episode on my drive into work.
Go ahead.
How long do you think it was into the episode that ended up being, I think it was like an hour and 20 minutes. How long into the episode do you think it was before Arthur Smith was able to get out a complete sentence between you and Taylor?
Is it, I'm going to guess, 11 minutes. Do you know the answer?
It's 18 minutes and 33 seconds. You two are unbearable. That is such unbearable. A bad habit. Unbearable.
Dude, trust me, when it was happening, I was aware that it was happening too. I think it was good to kind of banter Taylor and I just to get Art a little comfortable. He knew he was going to walk into something he didn't know what necessarily. He says no comment on a few questions.
Well, yeah, because you came out of the gates asking him if he's going to chop his penis off for a Super Bowl like with Vrabel. And he no commented you because he's smart.
No question. But, you know, I was very aware that that was happening. I think a couple things. I think the boys were excited to be back on the bus for the first time. And I don't know how long. I think over a month. And we were stoked to be with Arthur because we obviously hadn't seen Art since season. And he is 100% one of the boys. So it was good to just – I think that environment kind of created that. But I was aware that that was happening because Taylor and I were just ranting on just different stuff. We just don't let each other breathe. When I feel like Taylor's talking a lot, I'm like, oh, I think I need to get in my two cents. I'm aware of that problem. But, Buck, as you know, I'm coachable. I'm going to assess the tape like I've been doing. I'm going to listen to the critics, the haters out there, and I'm going to get better. So there's always room for improvement. But I do think the boys were excited to be on the bus for the first time in a while. And then also when you throw Art into the mix, like we're just all ecstatic to be with each other. And before we got into the serious type of questions.
Well, he's coachable, but it's been 2 years of this podcast and they're still doing the thing where they just talk over everybody. In fact, I think when I came on the bus, Taylor was ready to fight me because I kept interrupting you two to keep the thing on track because I was interviewing you two, and because I know how to conduct an interview and to keep things on track, I had to cut you two off at the pass before it got, you know, full, we will call it ADD radio, probably not. I should probably not take a shot about CTE radio, given that I hope both of you are safe and healthy and well.
Those are jokes for us to put on a podcast that's not commercialized mainstream radio, Buck.
Hey, listen, your podcast is being promoted on commercialized mainstream radio, so take all your shots if you want.
No, you're right, man. I have no rebuttal to you. I do just think the boys were all excited to get with each other on the bus again. Sure. We had a huge deal getting signed by Chevy Silverado. Shout out the boys at Chevy. Oh. So I just think we were all stoked, man.
No question. So Arthur's on the bus. The conversation after the first 18 minutes and 33 seconds finally gets into the stuff the Titans fans care about, which is how he ended up leaving the Titans, how soon he took an interview, the first interview with the Jags, and ultimately how Dean Pease ended up in Atlanta. Now, I don't want to spoil all of the good stuff because people need to go listen to this podcast, but let's take it from a different angle. Art gets done with the playoff game. You guys lose to the Baltimore Ravens in the wild card round. And that night, Arthur has an interview scheduled with the Jags. Now, as a player, that, I don't know, I guess, how does that hit you when you see or when you hear reports of your coach who you've just been on a team with the same night that you lose a playoff game is interviewing with another team for the head coaching position? How do you guys process that?
Yeah, that's a good question, Buck.
It's because I'm good at my job.
Okay, see, there you go, man. Like, we did this last week. You can't allow me to give you a compliment. You just wait 5 seconds, bro, you can't even wait that long to compliment yourself. Like, I get it. You're good at your job. That's why you got this new promotion, Buck. But allow, see, as I'm going to be coachable, you need to be a coach. You need to be coachable. Allow the guest to compliment you and then just let it ride.
Keep it moving.
Are we clear?
Oh, are we clear?
Yeah.
Knock on wood if you're with me. Get the hell out of here.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
Knock on your wood. Keep talking.
But when you've been around the league and you kind of understand how it works, you realize that coaches are kind of in a similar boat as players when it comes to getting a promotion, going after a different job. Like, when you're a player in a contract year, and we actually get into this in the podcast, that excitement, being able to compartmentalize, hey, I'm about to get paid. It might be on another team because my agent's already talking to the team about a restructure agreement or re-upping, doing an extension. Like, a player is aware of those conversations happening. So being able to compartmentalize, hey, I'm playing football for the Tennessee Titans right now. And also, hey, the Titans aren't going to want me back. So you're kind of in those conversations with your agent on where you might be landing or how much money you might be making the next year. You can only assume, if you have a rational mind, that coaches are doing the same thing, because you never know, man. You never know, unless you are the owner, what is going to be happening with the team. So you kind of have to position yourselves. Hey, you know, I've been an OC for a couple of years. I've been a pretty good OC for a couple of years. I have an agent who handles all my business inquiries, who handles all those conversations for me, so I can focus on the task at hand, which is coaching for the Tennessee Titans. But you can't be naive to think, all right, we're about to enter the playoffs. We need to have some interviews lined up. If ultimately I want to be a head coach, we need to have these interviews lined up, because you never know what's going to happen. You understand that you can't necessarily interview. I don't know all those rules, but, you know, it's not like, oh, man, he might have called the game differently because he was thinking about a different job.
Right.
That's why you have an agent for those things, to handle those conversations, so you can compartmentalize and focus on a playoff game, trying to make this a Super Bowl, ultimately winning it all.
Well, and that's the thing that I think people listening to this probably didn't understand, because there was a pretty big reaction to the fact that, you know, you guys lost the game and Art was immediately interviewing for jobs. I don't think people understood that they had
was
those.
Was it really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Will, are you kidding me? Like, this, you know, it's sports fandom. And so that's immediately where the conversation goes, because it was the offense for you guys. It was kind of like the bizarro Titans in that playoff game. It was the offense that struggled in that game, where throughout the course of the season, the struggles had been more on the defensive side of the ball. So immediately the conversation becomes, once you see the reports of Art going down or interviewing via Zoom with the Jags, that, well, of course he wasn't. Of course our offense didn't perform up to snuff. Not paying attention to what the Ravens did on the defensive side of the ball, but essentially accusing Art of not having his priorities straight. That was a very big conversation, at least on social media. It's irrational, it's a conversation.
Yeah, definitely irrational. So, but yeah, I guess a good question. If you're kind of on the outside looking in, you're kind of curious about how everyone thinks or reacts in that situation. But yeah, I think it's a part of the game, man. At the end of the day, like, you know, you don't know, you have your own goals, and Art, you know, obviously has wanted to be a head coach. So when you're a coach trying to climb the ladder, you do, in that cutthroat world of even coaching, because there's way less jobs in the coaching world than there are as players. You know, you got to be ready. That's why he had an agent and has an agent.
Now, Vrabel was talking about that on Monday. Loyalty is a difficult thing. Loyalty to, like, the team, loyalty to, like, the job that you're in, it's a difficult thing for coaches, because a lot of guys are looking to advance. And I think it's a tribute to Arthur that he lasted four different coaching regimes to ultimately find himself now as the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys is here with us. Follow the Boys at Bussin' WTB. The new episode with former Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith is available now wherever it is that you get your podcast. So something that also came up that is of relevance to Titans fans is Dean Pease. Now, what Arthur said to you guys was that Dean called him. Dean said that retirement wasn't for him, and that's something that has obviously had Vrabel under the gun with Titans fans, because for all of the defensive struggles, people didn't understand why there wasn't more of an effort by Mike to go and bring Dean back in. But I think that from your perspective, Dean had retired as a player, and I understand that you came in at a time where most of this stuff had already been decided. So you're coming in free agency, and things are what they are. Bowen is the defensive coordinator or the defensive play caller. Mike Vrabel is, you know, the head coach, but he obviously has a defensive background, so he's involved. The Dean Pease thing, how did you guys process that as players, not just when he retired for the second time, but when he came out of retirement for the second time to go coach with Art?
Yeah, you know, I said it on the pod. I feel like he's the Brett Favre in the coaching world. He retires, he comes out of retirement. He retires again, he comes out of retirement. In 18 when I had came, it was up in the air whether he would do it just 1 year or not, because he wanted to be retired. And Dean and I would sit and talk during my like free agent visit, because we would talk about, I would ask him questions about coaching, because I've always had aspirations to coach as well. And, you know, he would talk about the ups and downs of it and how, you know, his grandkids are growing up and they, you know, he wants to be around them more. So I want to say everybody, some people were kind of under the impression they might have only done it a year on the Titans. It was kind of to help Coach Vray, you know, step into his first head coaching role. And, you know, I guess I assume they talked him into a second year, and then he got out in retirement again, realized he wasn't vibing with it. And it's funny, too, because throughout the year he would text, talk about good game, or, hey, I saw you out there, or, you know, one day talking about coaching. And you could tell he was antsy about, he's always watching. He always knew what was going on. And so I'm not surprised he's coming back out of retirement. It seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, too, but he got hired in Atlanta, more of those consulting roles that are kind of happening right now in the NFL, the little trend, to where he doesn't have to necessarily be the D coordinator who carries the weight of all of it, the burden of all of it, but he can kind of just be a consultant. I don't necessarily know what that means. Art was kind of talking about on the podcast as well, these new consulting roles that have been popping up. But it seems like it's kind of Coach Pease's lane. It's to kind of live a little bit more stress-free about it, not carry the burden of a DC, but at the same time, still be involved with ball and grooming another head coach and kind of just being implemental into instilling those philosophies that he kind of brings to a team.
Well, let me go ahead and correct you, because you are wrong. Dean Pease is the defensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons. Lucas and I had to look it up during, because I listened to the podcast. I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. I guess Dean is just is a consultant, kind of like, I mean, it's not in the same lane as what Jim Schwartz is now with the Titans in a senior defensive assistant role. But it straight up says on the Falcons website that Dean's the defensive coordinator. So you are wrong.
Yeah, well, you know, I would be interested. I would love to have Dean Pease on the bus and talk about it.
Yeah. If Dean does come on the bus, hopefully the two of you have more respect for Dean than you had for Arthur and for Derrick Henry to make it through the first 20 minutes of the podcast and let Dean utter a complete sentence before you completely and totally steamroll him.
Were we the same way with Derek?
Oh, my God. It was so bad with Derek. It's not. Here's what I'll say. Okay.
So bad with Derek. Oh, here goes Buck, dude.
No. I'm going to. Here goes Buck, dude. Relax. Okay. Don't upset me. All right. We've made it through this interview. I've been very calm.
You're right.
I've been living a stress-free existence for at least the last 20. Don't piss me off, Will. But with Derek, it was a good interview, because I don't ever get to talk to Derek like that, right? Like, I am never going to have as comfortable a conversation with Derrick Henry as you guys are going to have with Derrick Henry. That's just the nature of the beast, and I appreciate, you know, you guys having that platform to be able to have conversations with not just Derek, but all your teammates, AJ, you know, Quesenberry, whomever. But like with Derek, you guys would ask him a question, he would begin to answer, and then immediately the two of you would bust in and tell your side of the story as if we're all not there to listen to Derrick Henry. Now, we're there to listen to you,
too. Right.
It's okay. I understand. Listen, I literally did the same thing to Dennis yesterday. I talked for 5 minutes before Dennis uttered a word, and I had a bunch of tweets. Just shut up and let Dennis talk, you idiot. So I understand how it goes.
No doubt. No doubt. Okay. All right. What was the next thing before I interrupted you with Derek?
No, the next thing is that the segment's over and that everybody needs to go subscribe, rate, and review to Bussin' with the Boys. Wherever
it's already over?
What do you mean? It's 20 minutes. You can spend more time with me if you want, but I'm tired of looking at you on the screen. So I'll talk to you next week, okay?
Sounds good, man. I enjoyed this. We're building a little friendship here. I'm going to say relationship, not friendship. No. But I enjoy it. I appreciate you having me on, bud.
Well, I'm glad after almost 3 years that we're just now advancing to the stage of a relationship, not quite a friendship. Get the hell off my Zoom. Bussin' with the Boys.
All right, boss.
Will Compton. Subscribe, rate, and review wherever it is that you get your podcasts. All right. It was good insight, good information. I would never tell him that while he was still on the Zoom. But in the meantime, it is time to update the polls, and that responsibility falls to Lucas Panzeca. He does that coming up next. Man, the end of the show always comes much, much sooner than I want it to. Phrasing. Fuck rising. Here with you, Blaine and Mickey will be coming up shortly. They have a loaded guest list today. I see Dan Harrelson. I see new Austin Peay men's basketball head coach Nate James. I see my teammate at A to Z Sports, Austin Stan. Blaine and Mickey from 1 to 3 before 3HL takes over for the remainder of your afternoon entertainment. Now, I really enjoyed today's show. It was all over the place. It was super scatterbrained. I kept calling Jim Schwartz Jeff Schwartz, but it's okay. We survived. We made it through. Lucas Panzeca will update the polls momentarily, and we will see what the people had to say. I got to say, though, like the more that I sit here in these, I think they're 6-inch inseam shorts. Like I think, assuming that I don't get a call from HR after this, I'm pretty sure I'm going to wear short shorts like this until it becomes too cold to wear short shorts. It's very liberating. I mean, it's largely because I'm in the studio by myself and Lucas is in the production studio directly in front of me, but I feel, frankly, liberated. I feel like this is a much more relaxed show. Everything just has more room to work.
Well, I too am wearing what I think are 16-inch seams short. So, coincidence?
Yeah, but yours are like khaki. So. Yours are khaki.
They are, but they're still shorts.
Yeah, but mine are like athletic shorts. Athleisure.
It's the same concept.
No, because it's called athleisure, it's just an outrageous, it's a ridiculous way to charge me an outrageous amount of money for jogging shorts. And you know what? I'll pay it because I'm very comfy. All right, Lucas Panzeca, we have many, many polls. You can vote on the polls at Buck Rising on Twitter. Lucas updates them at the end of every show.
Who will be calling the Titans defense by the end of the 2021 season? Vrabel, Shane Bowen, or Jim Schwartz? 55% of nearly 500 voters believe it will be Jim Schwartz. 25% Shane Bowen. 20% Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, you guys are dramatic. Like, Schwartz, I think if everything went to hell, like, I still, a part of me thinks Mike would just let Shane ride it out and just out of pure stubbornness. I feel like that's kind of how Mike goes about his job. Now, again, he's been good about being willing to adapt and bringing in new people and new lines of thinking and new ideas and all of this. So I don't want to accuse him of being, you know, just outright stubborn. But I think Mike would take over the play calling before they gave it to Schwartz, just one. So Mike has to eat it a little less. But I don't know if that'd be a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, Shane Bowen's the defensive coordinator, right? What did he say on Monday? Shane will coordinate the defense.
Jim Haslett, linebackers. Greg Aukerman, special teams.
Give me the entire staff, Mike. It's such a... Honestly, I understand why you get so annoyed. But the good thing is he's totally capable of trolling us right back. Yeah, I think just relax a little bit with the Shane Bowen thing. Again, the players were not good enough last year. The pass rush was not good enough last year. If you can get 10 more sacks than you did in 2020, if you can go from 19 to 29 sacks, we are going to be having a totally different conversation. Even as sacks are just a kind of way to box score scout, it's going to make you feel a hell of a lot better. Your defense is going to look a hell of a lot better because if they're getting that many sacks, they're getting more consistent pressure, which is something that they just outright lacked last year. And that's not even a coordination thing.
Well, this offseason has been a pretty loud statement that the Titans believe it was a personnel issue, not a coaching issue on defense last year.
Yeah. I mean, hell, Mike Keith basically said that himself. And Mike Keith is a Titans employee. Mike wouldn't say that if it wasn't the company line.
How much do you trust Mike Vrabel? A lot, a little, or none at all? About 500 voters, 49% trust him a lot, 46% a little, 5% none at all.
It's a weird relationship you guys have with Vrabel as a fan base. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a almost toxic. I don't want to say toxic because I don't know that it's at that level, but it's complicated.
It's Facebook relationship status. It's complicated.
Because he wins.
Yeah, that's why it's not even complicated. It just doesn't make any damn sense. Like, I was here at the very, very start of the uptick of this current Titans regime. Now, that was still Mike Mularkey when I got here. In fact, my first year was the year that Mike Mularkey was promoted by Amy Adams Strunk before John Robinson got hired. And ever since then, like, it's good, right? It's good for Titans fans to have a sense of pride. It's good for Titans fans to have a sense of caring. You would rather them be upset than apathetic. But to be this upset about a team that's done nothing but improve, or a franchise that's done nothing but improve, I just don't understand it. And Vrabel seems to be like the focal point of a lot of it. And that I don't understand.
Who talks more on Bussin' with the Boys?
Yeah.
Will Compton, Taylor Lewan, or their guest? It's approaching 300 votes. 52% Will Compton, 44% Taylor Lewan, 4% the guest they have on the bus.
Oh, so we made it individual between Taylor and Will.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. But 4% of the votes went to the guest.
I mean, I'm never going to be able to do the interviews that those guys do because they're interviewing their teammates as if they were sitting around in the locker room. Now, I get to be in the locker room when those conversations are being had amongst teammates, but like Derrick Henry is never going to come on this radio show and talk to me the way that he talks to Taylor and Will. But also, Will and Taylor need to shut the hell up and let their guests
96%
talk.
96% Will and Taylor.
It's obscene. I said 18 minutes and 33 seconds. I timed it out on my drive in.
We should have made the poll just conversely. How much does Buck talk versus his guest? And just compared the results. Maybe we do that tomorrow.
No, that's not fair. It's just me. I mean, Lucas helps. Lucas contributes to the show, of course. But it's just me talking. Of course I'm going to get buried. That's what my entire livelihood is built out of. Just me talking. So yeah, I'm gonna take a fat L if we put that up on a Twitter poll tomorrow.
Will Deshaun Watson play a snap in the NFL this season? We hadn't even talked about this today. Nike finally pulled their sponsorship of Watson. There was a press conference in Houston yesterday with women coming forward. 78% of the voters believe he will not.
Man, and I'm a part of me is glad that we didn't get to that today. Because this is the everlasting conflict, and you guys are probably so tired of hearing me repeat the same line of thinking or the same train of thought, but Lucas and I sit in the green room every morning before we walk into these studios and we say, how do we talk about Deshaun Watson today? It's the biggest story in the NFL. How the hell do we talk about this intelligently? How do we advance the story? And the answer is Lucas and I aren't advancing the story. So we will update you on the advancements made in the story by people doing legitimate reporting. But yeah, that is something that bears mentioning now that we're at the end of the show. The fact that Nike pulled their sponsorship from Deshaun Watson while he's in the middle of just a complete and total catastrophe from a PR perspective. They suspended their sponsorship. Beats by Dre has also ended their deal with Deshaun Watson. Like, this is how it starts. So whether and maybe we spend more time on this tomorrow from a football standpoint only. Okay, we'll talk about how it affects the division. But right now, he's just caught up in the middle of a sexual assault, inappropriate behavior allegation bleep storm. And there's no signs of that fading anytime soon.
How short is too short for men's shorts? 5 inches, 6 inches, 7 inches. 53% say 5 inches, 20% six, 27% seven.
So I'm currently wearing six. This is about as short as I'd be comfortable going.
Sky's out.
Sky's out, thighs out. 100%. Shout out Austin Stanley, who will be on this radio show later today, or radio station later today, because my radio show's done. Coming up next, it's Blaine and Mickey. They're going to have a lot of good interviews. They're going to have a lot of good insight. They're going to have a lot of good analysis, and so will I, but not until 10 a.m. tomorrow, because I'm done. We'll see you then.